This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Here we go. Mavericks highlights from today's press conference as we open up hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. You'll hear from Klay Thompson. You'll hear from Najee Marshall, and you'll hear from Quentin Grimes as well as Antonio Daniels. Just a Mavs audio fest here for you in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. General at your service. There's Broadus. Wolchuk is in attendance. Lucius Alexander is here. Eric Schiafalo has morning show duty. Send him some love there, working with RJ and Bobby this week. He's sounding good.
They're doing a great job. It really is. Great show.
And salute to Carter Freeman as well for coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Let's go cut six here, Clay. What has closing that chapter in Golden State been like for you? Here he is.
I mean, probably a little disappointed at first, but then as time goes on, you have a lot of time to reflect and you realize what you did. They can't take that away from you as far as the championships or, I mean, records are meant to be broken, but the impact you have on a community and all that, that will forever live. And sometimes, you know, breakups are necessary to do what's right, and I'm not the first athlete in the NBA to go through this. I did grow up in Portland, and I remember when Scottie Pippen came to the Blazers. That was like the biggest day of my life, and I'm not saying I'm Scottie, but they were right there against the Lakers, almost won a chip. So I take a lot of inspiration from past athletes and how their careers might have gone, you know, astray when they either left the team or joined a new team. And some guys thrive, and I look forward to just kind of being rejuvenated here and playing a good basketball left in the tank.
You believe that? A lot of good basketball left in Clay's tank?
I think offensively. Absolutely. I think defensively we'll see, you know, what he still has left. But I don't think, you know, he's not going to have to be asked to do as much, carry as much as he had to do with Golden State, with what Luka's able to bring to the table and Kyrie, of course. So I think he's going to fit into his role beautifully. But I did think when he was talking about that Scottie Pippen, you know, you live that. So, I mean, how much do you think that is something that is comparable? The Scottie Pippen addition there to Portland almost does help them get to a championship. Mavs were three wins away.
I mean, I wish Klay Thompson was still at the level that Scottie Pippen was, but Scottie Pippen was such a great defender, not only on the ball, but team. And his basketball IQ was so immense that he was the kind of guy that even as his scoring went down, he still had a massive impact. You know, there was a Jason Kidd-like component to Scottie Pippen's game. And I don't know if Klay Thompson was ever that level of player, maybe. But, you know, I don't know how far Klay has slipped and what he can do and if it's going to be worth the risk, because I think you have to have elite defense and you're already, kind of fighting an uphill battle with Luka and Kyrie on the court together at the same time. Now you put Klay out there. But I just right now I'm in a mode kind of like with Nico that I'm with Chris Young. Right, I just have full belief in their vision. The leadership team that the Mavs have put together, I think it's as good or better than ever.
I feel that with Nico and the staff over there and with, again, the coaches and stuff, that they probably looked at Klay Thompson and feel they understand what his limitations are. And for them to be willing to make the commitment to him for the number of years and the finances that they did, they obviously feel like that there's still something left. Clearly the shooting is there. I do feel like, though, if he – Klay Thompson to me seems like he gets into a good place, he gets into a good rhythm, all of a sudden the buy-in. We saw a lot of guys buy in that they're not great defensive players for the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of guys that when it came down to – and they were one of the best teams in the league when it came to clutch games.
Yeah.
In the last 4 minutes of a game. You get a guy that knocks down shots that way, the way that he does, the defensive buy-in – Give me the guy that's going to knock down the shots and might, when they make a stop or two, that he helps.
Yeah.
I just need that ability to, you know, when there's those key possessions at the end of the game and you're not missing shots. You know, that's how teams get back into these games. All of a sudden, it's the last 3 minutes. It's a missed shot. It's another empty possession. It's another empty possession. Oh, you missed a free throw now. And now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, I think, is going to, when all of a sudden things get a little hairy, him knocking down shots is going to be more important to this team than his ability to play defense in the last 4 minutes.
What I think we saw with Boston is how devastating it is when you can't cheat off anybody.
Right.
Like, you could leave Derek Jones Jr. and be like, well, I don't think he's going to beat us.
Yeah.
Now, if you do that to Klay, I will absolutely torch you.
Yes. Yeah. And at some point in this presser, he said that. You can't leave me open.
Yeah.
And absolutely, that's 100% accurate. And I think that they realized, okay, a big reason we lost to the Celtics was we did not have enough spot-up three-point shooters. And Klay's going to do that for you. I think Grimes and Najee Marshall are the two guys that are going to be the enforcers on the defensive side.
Okay, what was your – we'll get to Najee Marshall in just a sec, Brian.
You know, and a year more of growth of Lively, too.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I think that now you're starting – piece together this thing. You have Klay for a reason for the shots. These other guys, I think, are the ones that are going to be the dirty work, the stunt men, and the when they need those stops.
Lively's going to be incredible. I mean, big men really don't come into their own until their late 20s, and
right.
He has such a huge head start with his basketball IQ and his athleticism and the way that he applied it his rookie year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What was your relationship with Kyrie Irving? How did it influence your decision to come to the Mavs? Here's Klay.
Kyrie and I are good friends. I mean, we came in the league together in 2011. We played on Team USA together twice. Obviously, we played against each other in the highest stages for many years, and I've always been a fan of Kai's game, and guarding him was hell, so it's nice to be on the other end of that for once and see other defenders get loose and get shook by him. That's going to be a good sight to see. And then part two, at this point in my career, I mean, still can't leave me open, and I can guard, and I'm just excited. I still think I can do what I've been able to do, and it's just about being in the best shape I can possibly be, but I know I can help this team, whether it's the knowledge I've gained or big scoring nights. I just still know I can be a very, very good player in this league.
Yeah, and that's what you want. You know, maybe not capable anymore of defending the absolute best perimeter stars in the game, but you brought in one of those. You're developing more of those.
Yeah.
And that's been a topic as we, pardon me, hear from Najee Marshall. What was it like trying to lock Luka down, and how much of a relief is it to be on his team now? Here's cut number 9 for the Mavs presser.
Definitely a relief. Man, Luka's a high-level player, man. So locking down, I won't use that word, but maintain, you know, all three levels, just unbelievable. So just to be on his team, and like Klay said, let him do that to other people, I'm going to get enjoyment out of that for real.
So that's a good segue into Antonio Daniels, who was on with the KMC Masterpiece. I guess this is while I was out of town.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that's
it
why
was.
I hadn't heard it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Daniels is a great basketball talker, great dunker, great player in his time. You hear him on NBA radio, but he's also the analyst on the play-by-play for the Pelicans, and he went viral for this clip across multiple social media platforms, and he's always a popular interview. Here's Antonio on Najee and what he was able to observe there in New Orleans.
All right, so tell us about him, because, you know, it was basically like they got him and they lose Derek Jones Jr. And what kind of a player is that? I know he's a good corner three guy, versatile defensive player on the perimeter. Who's his NBA comp?
I mean, his NBA comp is him. You know, like, I don't really – it's not like he's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, Najee's been in this league for a while. So he's sat, he's watched, he's learned through vision, and when the opportunity has presented itself, he has made the most of it. This past year in New Orleans, he only started one game. 2 years prior to, he started a numerous amount of games, 20-plus games, and almost averaged 15 points per game in those starts.
Let's go.
So, like, again – This, a lot of times things are based on, like, do I know this guy? Like, is this guy a household name? And just because a guy is not a household name doesn't mean that he cannot impact your organization. Najee Marshall is a heck of a dude, one. He was the toughest guy on the New Orleans Pelicans team last year since he's been here. He has been the enforcer in New Orleans, which is wild to say because we're used to enforcers being Charles Oakley or Dale Davis or Antonio Davis. Najee Marshall, 6'5", 6'6", and is one of the toughest guys. I can guarantee you this. Nobody will be pushing Luka around.
Ooh, you got to love that.
Yeah, that'll get you fired up.
And obviously with Sean and RJ, not KMC, I'm not sure how I got that on my mind, but that's great audio. The kind of guy who I think did – was it him or was it Quentin Grimes who led the league in minutes on – the best perimeter stars in the NBA. I saw that stat, but they went out specifically and found guys they believe can be locked down against, you know, your guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Paul George, and also, you know, hit threes at higher than 35%. I think that's specifically what they were looking for.
Well, it was Najee who they were calling the SGA stopper. So he certainly has done a great job when they've had those matchups with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But Derrick Jones Jr. was number one when it came to defense on the best ball handler on a post. So you did lose that. But I think they're looking at Najee and what he can potentially do. He's going to have to prove it, though, against other guards that aren't Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And that's the one thing that Derrick Jones Jr. was so good at, the Najee and Quentin Grimes combination. And Quentin Grimes is one of those guys that's so good at fighting through screens as well. He's got that pit bull kind of mentality when he plays.
Yeah, they definitely got tougher. And I think they got tougher with even Klay Thompson.
Well, mentally. I mean, think about what he's able to provide leadership-wise.
You talk about a guy that's clearly battle-tested. He's seen it all. He's been through locker room wars and problems that they've had to deal with. He doesn't get rattled the way he plays.
Yeah.
You know, he had to go from a starting role to a reserve role off the bench and stuff. You know, he just seems like now he sounds like a very comfortable guy.
Yeah, and I don't think Luka needs anybody to protect him. I don't think he needs a bodyguard. But if you have a guy who's super tough that can try to impose that back on other team stars, I don't feel like we really have had a lot of that.
I just don't feel like that people really want to test Luka that way. Because when you watch,
doesn't bother him.
It doesn't bother him. Like, the more you try and get in his grill, the better he responds to that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the fan base, he's got a very much of me against the world mentality.
Yeah, he'll drain a shot in your face and let you know about it afterwards.
He I think he relishes that. But yeah, if he drives the lane and gets a hard foul or two, you've got some guys that'll handle that.
Some more from Clay here. Have you and your dad made up after the decision to not go to the Lakers?
Yeah, my dad was disappointed. I don't really haven't talked to him much about it, but at the end of the day, he was happy for me. I mean, he was a little selfish in his business interests because he wanted me to be at home with the family. I was like, Dad, I've been in California my whole life. I got to experience something new. So he understood, and he's actually really excited for me, and he thinks we have a great shot to do something special here, not just this year, but for many years. So he was all on board once the dust settled and he realized that it was really a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly unique situation, but maybe we need to get used to that now. We were told that Nico has special relationships with players and is, you know, looked at as a kind of a mentor in a lot of ways. And then, you know, obviously your head coach has a tremendous amount of respect from the players from this generation.
Where I misevaluated Nico is that, yes, I thought relationships were good to have. He actually has a basketball brain.
Yeah.
Like his desire to evaluate, and I don't know who he's, I mean, maybe he's got people over he's talking to, or maybe he's sitting down and saying, you know what, we're not good enough here. We have to get better here. Relationships, great. Selling ideas, great. But to be able to execute and to have the ability to evaluate where you're at, that's where I need to give him a lot more credit than I did.
Yeah, I think it was easy to doubt him because
you just thought he was a shoe guy. Yeah, you know, you're thinking he's going to get run over in this league, and his learning curve you thought was going to be really steep, not at all. The learning curve with him, you know, maybe they've had some guys in the organization that have helped him with some advice, but he has picked this up really, really quickly.
Okay, then we'll get a little bit from Quentin Grimes, the player they got from Detroit. Here's the article that I was referring to, Woolchuck. The Smoking Cuban had a tweet from at the B-Ball Index. Mm-hmm. They have a matchup difficulty stat. A lot of these metrics are different. One of them might have ranked Derek Jones Jr. as the number one guy for guarding the highest caliber offensive players is what this. This has Quentin Grimes at number one.
Well, let's go.
Here's cut 36. I'm sorry. Yeah, cut 36 from Quentin Grimes. Why do you take so much pride in guarding the other team's toughest player?
Yeah, I definitely take a lot of pride on the defensive end. I think once I made that transition to Houston from Kansas, like Coach Sampson, it's a you got to give 110% or he going to run you to death. And I wasn't trying to run. So I just made sure every time I stepped on the court, it just kind of just stuck with me. And then once I went to the Knicks, everybody know Tibbs, like you got to give it 110% again or you're not going to play you. As a rookie, you got to earn that trust some other way besides pounding the air out the ball. I knew that wasn't going to be the way. So then in my second year, me getting every assignment from Trae Young and Jason Tatum, I wanted to make sure I'm trying to make the guys whoever I'm guarding kind of life hell for real. So I'm going out there trying to make it hard every single time. I got a lot of pride in that end. Not going to let you score on me. You're going to score on me, I'm going to tip your hat. It's probably going to be a tough bucket. So but I'm going to keep coming at you on defensive end, offensively as well. So take a lot of pride in that end.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that score 20 points a game in college, and you get here, and it's like, well, we're not going to ask you to score. But if you can go shut down the game's best players or make life hell on them, then you got yourself a career. And in today's NBA, that looks like 5 years and about $80 million. It's real easy to get motivated and take pride in that defense if that's you know generational wealth, essentially. So congrats and welcome to town. Welcome back to Texas there for Quentin Grimes. It's got to be exciting for him as well. Okay, time now for a top 10. Woolchuck, where are you taking it?
Well, over the weekend, we celebrated National Fried Chicken Day. I've got the top 10 best fried chicken dishes. What's your favorite dish when it comes to fried chicken? That's next in the nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Chiback Nation. Segment here brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Let's rock. Here's Wolchuk. Your Woolly Bully. Zach with an H.
Let's go, baby. Shout out to the 254 oil field hand here. My day off listening to y'all cooking bacon, extra bacon cheeseburgers. Listening to y'all go bacon, Dolo bacon. It's a lot of bacon.
Shout out to the CTX.
We love me some bacon. We love you.
Oil field hand, did you say?
Oil field hand, yeah.
Man, that is some tough work.
It's tough work.
I worked on a platform out in the Gulf, Mexico.
Oh, yeah, you painted them, didn't you?
I was a painter. I painted heliports. We painted, yeah. I tell you what, I if you're an oil field hand when that chain's spinning around and like oil flying all over the place and I mean moving stuff around, we were a big service station, is what we were.
Yeah,
we were like a tanker would come up, we just drop the hose down and you know away we go. But
see,
I was,
that's what I'm built for right there.
Yeah, but I could paint me some heliports now.
Could you?
Oh yeah.
Was there any shade on those?
No, there wasn't. And what we would do is. It's pretty crazy. It was a job I had when I was a graduate assistant coach at LSU.
Oh.
For a summer job.
That actually made you work it, huh?
Yeah. So we were on the platform for a week and then off a week.
My goodness.
So
how big's the platform?
Oh, geez, it's good. So I mean, I can't tell you how the it had a living quarters on it for eight guys.
Wow.
And then so you could fish off. It was 100 feet up in the air.
Oh.
So yeah, and I'll never forget, man. We used to have ability. These guys were so cool because they would let us. You could have whatever you want. So we would order like all kinds of, and we had guys on that platform that could cook like stuffed tenderloin with shrimp. I mean, we had every night it was a feast.
That oil money.
Every night it was a feast.
That's true.
But those guys, man. One time I was on the cruise ship, the crew down there, and they pick you up and they take you off the. Like with a crane.
Wow, it sounds terrifying.
Picked me up off the crane, brought me over the side, and they brought me over. And instead of pulling me up, they just dunked me in the ocean.
Jeez. Oh, in the ocean?
Yeah, they just dunked. Wow. They picked me up, and my buddy was already up there, you know, by the crane operator. And he picked me up, and I could see what was going on. And they moved me on the other side of the boat.
Just plopped you in.
And they just plopped me in the ocean and pulled me back out and brought me up on the deck.
That's amazing.
But I'll never forget the first time I ever was in a helicopter. I mean, you're 100 feet. You know, I used to have to fill the helicopters up. Like, I'd hear them coming, and they'd land, and then I would put gas in them for them.
Wow.
So you had to, like, you know, for the static electricity, you had to clip this little thing to the side, or you might have a fire. You know, they're making me do this. Like, oh, hey,
what idiots.
Clip this. But anyway, so I remember the guy's name was Cy Brzkuski. Was his last name, Cy Brzkuski. And he was a Vietnam pilot flying out in the Gulf. And I'll never forget, like, my first helicopter ride. I put the headset on, and Cy's like, new guy, huh? Yeah. He took the helicopter off the top of the platform and just dropped it. I mean, straight down straight down.
Yeah, welcome.
Like, and I'm screaming.
Yeah.
And he pulled it out.
Lucius is back there filming it all.
I literally, like, that helicopter went, and then the nose of that thing pointed straight for the water.
I've been in a helicopter once. I don't need to be in one again.
Yeah.
Man. I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter.
It's, yep. I tell you, it's wild out
there. It's like constantly being in turbulence.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is not a smooth ride.
No. But I tell you what, that's quite, I mean, you make great money out there. Yeah. And all we did was paint heliports. That's all we did.
Man.
Hell yeah.
Story time with Brian.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt
No, you're good. Let's get right into the top 10 list.
What am I? Lucius?
Interruptosaurus.
Oh, yeah. He's an Interruptosaurus Rex.
That's the scientific name.
Last week he was wearing a purple shirt, looked just like Barney. So we started calling him. Lucius gave him that name. It's really brilliant. It does work.
It does work pretty well. It does work.
All right, top 10 best fried chicken dishes. We had National Fried Chicken Day over the weekend. I mean, it's always, everybody loves fried chicken. And if you don't, I don't know that we can be friends.
Yeah, you know me and the cold chicken.
But that's okay. You'll still eat fried chicken.
I do,
but you'll just eat it cold.
I do like fried chicken.
But you like fried chicken.
That KFC $5 bucket thing where they throw all that together is glorious.
It's fantastic. So last year, I think I did like the top 10 fried chicken places in Texas. Mm-hmm. And we had some good texts that came in. If you do have a spot where you like to go and get some fried chicken, I mean, Babe's is always a household name. Bubba's, Whistle Britches, of course, Palmer's. Palmer's is good. And Palmer's is, you know, partnering with the Firehouse Tour as well. You can get some free Palmer's. You can go out there. I think the next one's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
For Sean and RJ. But your favorite fried chicken dish, like, for example, the honorable mention, we've got, like, chicken fingers is an honorable mention. Mm. General So's chicken.
Yeah.
You know, just try and get creative ways of how you would eat fried chicken. Lucius, I mean, I think, obviously, the standard is always preferred, I think. Just the bone in.
Yeah, that's all I kind of know about fried chicken, bro. Okay. Just regular-ass fried chicken. Unless we're talking about crispy chicken salads.
That right there.
I'm down for that.
That Chick-fil-A?
Wraps? Yeah. Chicken wraps.
Okay.
Yeah,
wraps. Chicken wrap.
Really good.
That's some good eating right there.
Yeah.
So, number 10.
Wraps.
Wrap. 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 Wrap it up.
That's a good PSA right there, Brian. Shout out to the
Lucius. He's played him the other day, the Thunderbirds. He played it for me.
He did.
He played it for me. I love it.
Yeah.
The chicken nuggets would be your other honorable mention for the kiddos. Number 10 is sesame chicken.
Yes.
It's good chicken.
Delicious. Yes. Delicious fried chicken. Yeah. 682's going with the KFC's mashed potato bowls.
Yeah, that's right.
Outstanding.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay, is it this Friday in Glen Heights from the 682? That might be the next Firehouse, or it might be this Friday. For whatever reason, I was thinking it was next week.
No, I think it is this week. I didn't want to throw that out there.
I didn't think they were doing it without Sean. No, Sean's going to be part of that?
Oh, they can play without
him. You kidding
me?
Yeah. They can do this without Sean?
Easily.
Number 9 is popcorn chicken. Gavin Dawson.
Ooh, popcorn chicken. Yeah, I like popcorn chicken.
One of the innovators myself, I pulled the first tube of popcorn chicken out of the walk-in cooler.
Dude.
There at KFC in Vancouver, Washington.
He said one of the innovators myself.
Legendary, bro.
Yeah.
What do you put on your popcorn chicken? Your gravy? Is you guys put anything on? You just eating it as?
I think I just ate it regular.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll dip it in some honey barbecue.
Yeah, okay. I like it with mashed potatoes and gravy.
Give me the gravy and the mashed potatoes, a little pepper on top, please. Yeah.
Number 8 is your chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken.
That's number 1 on my list.
Number 1 on your list?
Yeah.
I think it's number 1 for quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Number 7, chicken and waffles, which we did get
texted.
Depends
on the waffle.
Got to be done the right way.
Got to be honest with you. I think a lot of people mess up the waffle.
I do too.
Yeah. Make it too bland.
Mm, there you go. You got it.
I'm with you on that. Not that I ever make my own waffles. That waffle iron. You know that, Brian.
I'm going to teach you how to make waffles when we go to camp here in 2 weeks.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Number 6 is buffalo chicken wings.
Okay, not the biggest fan of the buffalo.
Okay.
That's a vinegary, weird, spicy type of flavor. Yeah. And I'm like, I think we could do a lot better.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, buffalo wing.
It's damn good. What are we talking about?
He hates buffalo wing.
He eats all barbecue sauce in South North Carolina.
Wow.
It should be a highlight flavor. It's part of a great flavor profile. It shouldn't be the only flavor.
Wow.
Yep. I knew it was controversial.
The views expressed by Gavin Dawson from Gavin Dawson, Gavin Dawson only, do not reflect Brian Broadus, Zach Wolchuk, or Lucius Alexander, or 105.3 The Fan.
And let me add this about Dak while I'm at it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have my back here on this one. They're kind of amazed.
Is it just the vinegar part buffalo you don't like?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just too much.
All right, we're going to add that to all the foods that Gavin doesn't like. I mean, you missed out on the delicious crab rangoons that Ryan made on Friday with the duck sauce. Homemade.
Good timing on that meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think specifically.
We knew. That's why I made him. I knew you were out of town.
Man, I love it. I love it, man.
Number 4, we got the chicken parmesan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
Chicken parm is pretty damn good way to eat some fried chicken right there.
The only thing that can mess that up is if you get too many chunks of onion or tomato, you know? And that's either with the spaghetti or with the sandwich.
The sauce?
Right.
I didn't even know there was, like, onion in, with a chicken
parm. The sauce. He's talking about the sauce.
Some people will do, like, a chunky sauce.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm with you on that.
I think you can mess that up if you get the wrong side of pasta to it, too, by the way.
For sure.
Oh, what pasta do you recommend?
I think I always go to bat on this one. The angel here, I don't think holds the sauce the right way. I think it's too thin.
The Italian lady does not like your take.
She hates me. I get it. But I think you have to do it the right way.
Number 3 is orange chicken.
Oh, God, I love that.
I know you do.
Mm.
With some white rice.
Oof.
Just white rice in general.
Number 2 is Nashville hot chicken.
Oh.
Which has really been taken over. I mean, I'm seeing a new Nashville hot chicken place like every day.
Palmer's has got good, man. But Palmer's will blow you away, though. He'll make some maroon chicken.
Yes.
You got to be careful. If you really, really like hot, Palmer's got it. But watch the maroon color.
Yeah, you want mild.
Yeah, you do not. If it's maroon, don't eat it because it's about to just end your day.
Yeah, because the mild is also hot.
It is.
Palmer's hot chicken challenge.
No, it's real. If you really like hot chicken, he's got it.
Hot.
Yeah.
But if it's maroon color, just back up.
Don't think you can go medium.
No.
I learned that the hard
way. Hell no.
Me too. And I was like, oh, God,
no. I like medium.
I'm not a sissy. No, we're going mild forever now. Number one, though, best fried chicken dishes is your traditional just fried chicken on the bone. Baby.
Yeah, why not?
On the bone?
Way to do it. On the bone.
Oh, on the bone, yeah.
On the bone. Bone-in fried chicken.
The best piece is the giant breast piece, you think?
Oh.
Thigh.
I like the thighs.
Thigh.
Yeah. Thigh
more fat.
A nice piece of white bread wrapped around it. Ooh. And
pickle. Yeah. Throw a pickle on there, too.
Yeah, squeeze some jalapeno juice on that thing.
Ooh. Yes,
that's a great one. Amazing. Do it. The wings aren't bad either. Sometimes you get some extra crisp.
Oh yeah, the wings are fried.
Yeah, I'm into.
How about the little fried chicken bits that come off? The little pieces that fall off
might
there.
Be the best part of the whole chicken bucket right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Delicious. Here's the 940. I'm with Gavin. So many better wing flavors than buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if I had a plate of them, I'd be like, okay, I guess these are okay. It just isn't what I would order. Smoked wings flash fried at the end, says the 770.
Smoked
absolutely.
Wings are excellent.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah. I'd be smoking those wings.
Yeah.
Chicken parm with Alfredo sauce. Sounds weird, but it's a game changer.
I have never had it with an Alfredo sauce, but it does sound pretty decent.
I never have either, but I would totally do it.
Orange chicken is fire, says the 903.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate all the interaction here on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. How awkward is this about to get for old Jerry? That's coming up next, the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you, Lucius. You know, when this Jerry paternity story first started like 2.5 or 3 years ago, a long time ago, and Jerry was saying, oh, you know, it doesn't really bother me, you know, being a, you know, owner of the Cowboys, you're basically in the spotlight, just kind of comes with the territory. And I thought, man, that he's just got to say that, right? That's you know, where you are in the story. But I don't know. After seeing this latest headline, this latest turn in this paternity lawsuit story, I think, you know, maybe he enjoys the attention because he could absolutely let this thing go. But here's the headline in the morning news. Federal jury will hear Jerry Jones suit against the woman who says he is her father. It's the only case still having to be litigated. Like her lawsuit against him, over. Everything has been appealed and it's dead, except for Jerry Jones now with this lawsuit effectively enforcing that they have to live to the terms of the agreement signed back in the 90s. But by default, that's already happened. I don't know. Maybe you know, this has gotten personal for Jerry and he wants to prove a point here that, you know, he was in the right or in the wrong. But I was surprised that he would be pursuing legal action still, guys.
Is there any potential? So everything about the case, I'm sorry, I haven't paid attention to it to the point, but it's completely finished. She has no legal leg to stand on anymore.
The last word from her attorney a number of months ago was that they were going to appeal the judge's decision to throw the suit out.
Okay, so then maybe it does have something to do with inheritance. Do you think he's fighting something that maybe in the future that she's going to come back with an inheritance question?
Maybe this would give it some finality with her as an adult. Like we can appeal proof this situation to make sure it's buttoned up.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't want my estate worrying about this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like to kind of clean this up. You know, I can see that.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where if you put this thing, if you completely squash this, that she's got, I mean, maybe this is the last way of eliminating any legal leg she has to stand on.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to put myself through it otherwise unless there was a very clear objective. You know, this is kind of like Favre bringing up the Shannon Sharp lawsuit. Yeah. It's like,
keep going back to the well.
Yeah. You've just brought it back out for people to, you know, discuss how bad your character is once again. Now, at the root of this story, what do you think about an NDA or whatever was signed back then, a payoff that was signed back then when the kid was still a baby?
Yeah.
You know, that to me has always been a more interesting sticking point of this story. Like the mom got paid off. Does the kid have a separate, you know, case to be had essentially when they're 18 or 19 years old? Or do the legal agreements of your parents, you know, when you were a baby stand?
Yeah, I feel like, though, to me, this, the fact that Jerry and her mom had a deal, I mean, it's binding. You know, I think that's, you know, that's
like the child just doesn't no longer has a say so in that.
The child's, you know,
too young.
The mom, you know, now maybe you can, you know, maybe you could say mom didn't know what she was doing. You know, mom not in her right mind and all that stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, Jerry was successful when her and her mom and Jerry were together, but not billionaire successful. You understand what I'm saying?
He wasn't an owner of the Cowboys yet?
I don't believe he was the owner of the Cowboys yet when this was going on. I think this was something prior to 1989. I want to say with their relationship. I could be wrong because Jerry turned. How old is this girl? Is she in her
27? Yeah, 27.
Yeah, this was late 90s. He had been owner.
I was about to say, mom had some foresight, didn't she?
Okay, well, if that's the case, then. But Jerry had not gotten to late 90s, he had not had the billionaire status.
She hasn't seen the Cowboys win a Super Bowl either.
Plot twist says the 469, she's Dave Campos' kid. 561, Jerry's much more cold-blooded and attention-seeking than you give him credit for. The girl is his daughter after all, right? But how about Zeke as a running back one? What a bleeping clown show. It's not the child's fault. The mom is a dummy and dad is, you know, not much better. Yeah, I think I don't know how mom and dad's legal decisions could bind on me once I'm an adult. I think if you sign that, you got to circle back around to me and take care of me when I'm 18 years old. I'm a separate entity.
I blame the mom.
I don't know how the court stood up for the billionaire. Well, actually, I do know how that happens. They have a history of seeing things a little bit biased when it comes towards the money. But
you like that sweet I gave you, full of chicken wings, Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Yes, I think she absolutely has a point. Right, I didn't make this deal; my mom did.
Yeah, yeah.
But her mom was looking out for her.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So I understand what you guys are saying. The mom is the one that should be at fault here. Not Jerry. The mom made a deal with Jerry.
Yeah, probably not. A light deal either. Millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, when they made the deal, the mom said, hey, this is what it takes to get done. And now the daughter's like, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, the daughter, the mom's no longer with us, right? In that part of the...
I think mom's with us.
I think she is.
Yeah.
Is she with
Cynthia Davis, I believe.
She's with us still?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, if she's still with us, then I would knock on mom's door and say that you missed me over on this one then.
Yeah. Oh,
dang it, mom.
Yeah, I think I'm the one that's really been done wrong here, right? Mom is not a victim. No. You know, so mom gets her money, but I'm the one living out my life not knowing who my dad is. That money should have been put in a trust fund for me for when I turned 18 years old or wanted to go off to college or something.
Your dad's Jerry Jones, and I made an agreement with your dad, and I'm sorry that it's a bad deal.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you can't sign away my rights, you know, as a human with a right to a dad. It probably got very sticky and, you know, would create a precedent into the future that would get the courts flooded with, you know, kids trying to come back for some of daddy's money years later. So I get how it's legally sticky, but I would want to address how those deals are made in the very beginning. You know, we can't just give party gal mom. Can't keep it in her pants. Millions of dollars to run around and party while you're a kid. She's dropping you off at Nana's house. You know, that's not justice. The real misdeed was done to the child, you know? And I would think if it wasn't, legally a prompting for me to go take care of that child and hopefully make her whole again, there would be a massive like moral or ethical hole in my soul that I would want to fill. Not, you know, going on the legal attack here, as was the case with Jerry Jones, but, you know, it's a man I guess I'll never understand. Okay, the Jalen Brunson story is getting an update here. Perhaps the real truth on why he left the Mavs.
Oh,
have you seen this? Unquestionably a max player, but possibly taking $113 million less. Brunson considering this, according to Fred Katz at The Athletic. July 12th, the Knicks can extend Brunson off the 25 mil that he received, a max of 4 years and 156 mil. If Brunson waits until next summer and becomes a free agent, then resigns, he could get 5 years and $269 million. You know, $113 million gross more. The Knicks, are bound by the restraints of the collective bargaining agreement, so they can't offer him that contract until next year. But the idea is that Jalen Brunson understands that in the new financial realm of the NBA, there are two tax aprons. And if you want to win a championship, you need to really help your team avoid going over that second one where the punishments can be highly punitive. I don't know. Like, if I think that probably goes to show just how much love he had for the Knicks. And maybe the idea that the Mavs never had a chance is the one that will, bear out to be the true story. That's my reaction to that one. It's incredible. $113 million less. Could you imagine doing that? Could you imagine any player doing that?
No. That's crazy right there. But I guess he's valuing winning.
Yes. I think you're valuing winning. You're valuing, that being your childhood team. Valuing, that being where you wanted to go. I was surprised when that contract was eventually finalized and he went to New York, leaving the Mavericks, that it was only $24.9 million a year. I thought, wow, the Mavs definitely should have matched that. And, it's been a little bit of a two sides of the story situation since then. But I think, at that point, it's pretty clear if he does that he just wanted to be a Knick. Okay, football's finest is coming up. The Expressway at 520, though, and our Rangers guest is going to be Jonathan Ornelas. The second baseman had a couple of hits Friday night there. They got that sweep started against Tampa, and we'll have that Rangers player show and everything that's been developing in the world of sports coming up at 520. But an edition of the finest is next, Woolchuck. What do you have in store?
Malik Hooker ranking the order of Cowboys who should get paid and an announcement from Arch Manning. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. When this Jerry paternity story first started like 2.5 or 3 years ago, a long time ago, and Jerry was saying, it doesn't really bother me, being a, owner of the Cowboys, you're basically in the spotlight, just kind of comes with the territory. And I thought, man, that he's just got to say that, right? That's where you are in the story. But I don't know. After seeing this latest headline, this latest turn in this paternity lawsuit story, I think, maybe he enjoys the attention because he could absolutely let this thing go. But here's the headline in the morning news. Federal jury will hear Jerry Jones suit against the woman who says he is her father. It's the only case still having to be litigated. Like, her lawsuit against him, over. Everything has been appealed and it's dead, except for Jerry Jones now with this lawsuit effectively enforcing that they have to live to the terms of the agreement signed back in the 90s. But by default, that's already happened. I don't know. Maybe this has gotten personal for Jerry and he wants to prove a point here that he was in the right or in the wrong. But I was surprised that he would be pursuing legal action still, guys.
Is there any potential? So everything about the case, I'm sorry, I haven't paid attention to it to the point, but it's completely finished. She has no legal leg to stand on anymore.
The last word from her attorney a number of months ago was that they were going to appeal the judge's decision to throw the suit out.
Okay, so then maybe it does have something to do with inheritance. Do you think he's fighting something that maybe in the future that she's going to come back with an inheritance question?
Maybe this would give it some finality with her as an adult. Like, we can appeal proof this situation to make sure it's buttoned up.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
I don't want my estate worrying about this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't see that.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where if you put this thing, if you completely squash this, that she's got, maybe this is the last way of eliminating any legal leg she has to stand on.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to put myself through it otherwise unless there was a very clear objective. This is kind of like Favre bringing up the Shannon Sharpe lawsuit. Yeah. It's like,
keep going back to the well.
Yeah, you've just brought it back out for people to, discuss how bad your character is once again. Now, at the root of this story, what do you think about an NDA or whatever was signed back then, a payoff that was signed back then when the kid was still a baby?
Yeah.
That to me has always been a more interesting sticking point of this story. Like, Like, the mom got paid off. Does the kid have a separate, you know, case to be had essentially when they're 18 or 19 years old? Or do the legal agreements of your parents, you know, when you were a baby stand?
Yeah. I feel like, though, to me, the fact that Jerry and her mom had a deal, I mean, it's binding. You know, I think that's, you know, that's
like the child just doesn't no longer has a say so in that.
The child's, you know,
too young.
The mom, you know, now maybe you could say mom didn't know what she was doing, you know, mom not in her right mind and all that stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, who, Jerry was successful when her mom and Jerry were together, but not billionaire successful. You understand what I'm saying?
He wasn't an owner of the Cowboys yet?
I don't believe he was the owner of the Cowboys yet when this was going on. I think this was something prior to 1989. I want to say with their relationship. I could be wrong because Jerry turned. How old is this girl? Is she in her
27? Yeah, 27.
Yeah, this was late 90s. He had been owner.
I was about to say, mom had some foresight, didn't she?
Okay, well, if that's the case, then. But Jerry had not gotten to late 90s, he had not had the billionaire status.
She hasn't seen the Cowboys win a Super Bowl either.
Plot twist says the 469, she's Dave Campos' kid. 561, Jerry's much more cold-blooded and attention-seeking than you give him credit for. The girl is his daughter after all, mm-hmm. right? But how about Zeke as a running back one? What a bleeping clown show. It's not the child's fault. The mom is a dummy and dad is, you know, not much better. Yeah, I think I don't know how mom and dad's legal decisions could bind on me once I'm an adult. I think if you sign that, you got to circle back around to me and take care of me when I'm 18 years old. I'm a separate entity.
I blame the mom.
I don't know how the court stood up for the billionaire. Well, actually, I do know how that happens. They have a history of seeing things a little bit biased when it comes towards the money. But
you like that sweet I gave you? Full of chicken wings and Miller Lite.
Yeah.
Yes, I think she absolutely has a point, right? I didn't make this deal. My mom did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her mom was looking out for her.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So I understand what you guys are saying. The mom is the one that should be at fault here. Not Jerry. The mom made a deal with Jerry.
Yeah. Probably not, you know. A light deal either. Millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, when they made the deal, the mom said, hey, this is what it takes to get done. And now the daughter's like, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, the daughter, the mom's no longer with us, right? In that part of the...
I think mom's with us.
I think she is.
Yeah.
Cynthia Davis, I believe.
She's with us still?
I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, if she's still with us, then I would knock on mom's door and say that you missed me over on this one then.
Yeah. Oh,
dang it, mom.
Yeah. I think I'm the one that's really been done wrong here, right? Mom is not a victim. No. You know, so mom gets her money, but I'm the one living out my life not knowing who my dad is. That money should have been put in a trust fund for me for when I turned 18 years old or wanted to go off to college or something.
Your dad's Jerry Jones, and I made an agreement with your dad, and I'm sorry that it's a bad deal.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you can't sign away my rights, you know, as a human with a right to a dad. It probably got very sticky and, you know, would create a precedent into the future that would get the courts flooded with, you know, kids trying to come back for some of daddy's money years later. So I get how it's legally sticky, but I would want to address how those deals are made in the very beginning. You know, we can't just give party gal mom. Can't keep it in her pants. Millions of dollars to run around and party while you're a kid. She's dropping you off at Nana's house. You know, that's not justice. The real misdeed was done to the child, you know? And I would think if it wasn't, you know, legally a prompting for me to go take care of that child and hopefully make her whole again, there would be a massive like moral or ethical hole in my soul that I would want to fill. Not, you know, going on the legal attack here, as was the case with Jerry Jones. But, you know, it's a man I guess I'll never understand. Okay, the Jalen Brunson story is getting an update here. Perhaps the real truth on why he left the Mavs.
Oh,
have you seen this? Unquestionably a max player, but possibly taking $113 million less. Brunson considering this, according to Fred Katz at The Athletic. July 12th, the Knicks can extend a Brunson off the $25 million that he received, a max of 4 years and $156 million. If Brunson waits until next summer and becomes a free agent, then resigns, he could get 5 years and $269 million. You know, $113 million gross more. The Knicks, you know, are bound by the restraints of the collective bargaining agreement, so they can't offer him that contract until next year. But the idea is that Jalen Brunson understands that in the new financial realm of the NBA, there are two tax aprons, and if you want to win a championship, you need to really help your team avoid going over that second one, where the punishments can be highly punitive. I don't know. Like, if you know, I think that probably goes to show just how much love he had for the Knicks, and maybe the idea that the Mavs never had a chance is the one that will, you know, bear out to be the true story. It's my reaction to that one. It's incredible. $113 million less. Could you imagine doing that? Could you imagine any player doing that?
No. That's crazy right there, but I guess he's valuing winning.
Yes. I think you're valuing winning. You're valuing, you know, that being your childhood team. You're valuing, you know, that being where you wanted to go. I was surprised when that contract was eventually finalized and he went to New York, you know, leaving the Mavericks, that it was only $24.9 million a year. I thought, wow, the Mavs definitely should have matched that. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a two sides of the story situation since then. But I think, you know, at that point, it's pretty clear if he does that he just wanted to be a Knick. Okay, football's finest is coming up. The Expressway at 5:20, though, and our Rangers guest is going to be Jonathan Ornelas. The second baseman had a couple of hits Friday night there as they got that sweep started against Tampa. And we'll have that Rangers player show and everything that's been developing in the world of sports coming up at 5:20. But an edition of the finest is next, Woolchuck. What do you have in store?
Malik Hooker ranking the order of Cowboys who should get paid in an announcement from Arch Manning. That's next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.